Good afternoon. You're back once again deep underneath the Gawler Civic Centre in the Heritage Centre with Kay, and we're looking back at Gawler's history through the pages of the Bunyip. And this is looking back from September the 21st, 2022.
Oh, my goodness. It's good to be here, Jeanette.
Yes.
But the 21st of September, my crikey, the year's rolling past.
It certainly is. And this was over a week ago, so because there was a public holiday last week, so we weren't able to record. So this one's being done a week later.
Yeah.
So I'll kick off with 150 years ago, the late Mr. Lyons. Another old resident, having fulfilled his appointed time, has this week passed away from us. Mr. Lyons, whose occupation was that of a bootmaker, was originally a settler at Parramatta near Sydney, but in 1848 he migrated to this colony, taking up his abode in Gawler, where he has ever since been a fixture, having occupied the same cottage in Jacob Street during his 24 years. Mr. Lyons was supposed to be in his 70th year. It's interesting they didn't supposed to be in his 70th year.
Mm, that's so. His 3-score year in 10, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Which was the old saying, but now expectation is at least 80.
They probably didn't exactly know when he was born, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Records were, when did they have to, they registered through parishes. I know in Scotland it was 1854, I think, where it became compulsory to register with the government, the birth of a child, rather than through the parish. It was 1 year too late for my research purposes. So,
and South Australia's records are pretty appalling.
So even families that registered the births of their children, if they lived in an outback area, they didn't know.
Well, it's like my great-great-grandfather. He had like the 10 children from his first marriage, which we know because it was written in the family Bible, there were 10 children, and 11 children from the second, so that's why we know the mother.
Yes, yeah.
However, 4 of those 10 children, we don't know their names.
Right.
We surmise. There's one that I can surmise that we know the name of, and perhaps 2. Then you have to look at when the others were born and then try to fit them in.
Yes.
And we're pretty sure we know where 4 of them are buried.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the 9 ones. So, it's quite fascinating.
Well, one of the Milliken sons, he was born up on Port Wakefield River. So all the births are registered except for this one birth.
Yep.
And supposedly he was born when they were up in Port Wakefield, which is a pioneering area, perfectly understandable why it wouldn't be registered. They wouldn't have had the means of doing so. But every date given for his birth is wrong, except for his birthday. So it gives his birthday, he was born on the 8th of April, but the year has to be wrong because it's the same year that one of the other children was born, 3 months before one of the other children was born. So that year was clearly wrong. And they weren't on the Wakefield River then. Obviously, I think after that, he tried to say he was a few years younger than he really was.
Same with our Henry. We know he was born, he was christened, pretty well sure it was him that was christened in July 1813, and he always celebrated his birthday on the 9th of June. Mm. So we know the 9th of June is immutable.
Exactly, you know the date.
Yes, up to 10 years, so that when he died, he was supposedly 82, and in fact, he was probably closer to 85.
Yeah. Anyway, over to UK.
You'd get away with it, couldn't you?
They could back then, yes.
100 years ago, and this is quite opposite to what we're experiencing now, rain wanted.
Yes, yes, it is, isn't it?
The welcome shower early this week, which at any rate helped the crops to keep going a little longer, has staved off the day of complaining among our agriculturalists. Something of the magic of Australia's dramatic changes has been evidenced during the past fortnight. Prior to the show, that would be the Gawler show, people were anxiously viewing the skies, fearful of an outpouring from the heavens which would spoil the great spring function of the year. The show was favoured with brilliant weather and record attendances, but no sooner was it over than we were heard in every direction tales of land as hard as an asphalt pavement, hungry and crying out for rain.
Well, we had beautiful weather for the show this year.
Indeed.
The one fine day, and it's been raining just about every other day.
And the world showed the same.
I was shopping and there was a girl talking on the phone just to a friend or something, a teenage girl, and she was saying, 3 months of winter, that's enough. We don't need any more.
Yeah, I must say my bones are starting to feel a little bit warm weather, but I'm afraid it's going to go from 17 through to 27.
Oh, that's what it does.
Weeks,
yep.
And we're all going to be wilting from the heat.
Yes, it will. So 50 years ago, school shuts end of 1972. The Gawler River School is one of six rural schools to be closed at the end of 1972, according to advice received from the leader of the opposition, Dr. B.C. Eastick. Dr. Eastick said it was expected the children attending Gawler River would be conveyed to the Evanston Primary School. He said he had received an assurance from the Minister of Education, Mr. Hudson, that the school property would not be disposed of for at least 5 years. It was a period, I remember, I was at primary school then and country schools were closing everywhere.
That
was
a lot.
Right across the country.
Yeah. I mean, the Gawler River School is still there and it's now a private residence next to the CFS station, Gawler River CFS. So there's big tennis courts at the back and it used to be a thriving little community there. So it's good that the building is still there.
Yes,
it is privately owned.
Kangaroo Flat School, I believe, closed about the same time, would have been, and that's now a private residence as well. It's a beautiful building.
That we keep it going.
Yeah.
All right. 25 years ago, Trinity plans caused furore. Craigmore High digs in. A proposal by Trinity College to expand its Blakeview campus from primary school to include years 8, 9 and 10, secondary schooling, has created a furore in the Craigmore High School community. The proposal is to develop new school facilities on about 8 hectares of land, which adjoins both Craigmore High and Blakeview campus. The proposal is before Playford Council and is currently going through the, quote, public consultation, end quote, process.
Of course, they did go ahead with that.
And I think they've both gone gangbusters, haven't they? Didn't they both do well?
Yeah, there's big developments there, so.
Yeah, we've got the New Xavier campus that's out at Two Wells now. And that was always planned to be Art 12, and they've started off with through to four, I think, or through to five. And now it's just growing exponentially because people say, we don't want our kids to be on a bus going into Gawler.
You
can get this good private primary education, which is what a lot of people want, and that's their right. Locally, well, then they're going for it. But of course, the traffic jams here is something else, but that seems to happen at all these schools.
Yes, it does. So, 10 years ago, brilliant Bulldogs. Barossa District pulled off what many others have failed to do for almost half a decade when it defeated Tanunda by 26 points to win the 2012 Barossa Light and Gawler Football Association Premiership at Lindock last weekend. That's a long sentence.
Yes.
With a mixture of relentless tackling pressure, uncompromising commitment to win the contested ball and a desire to sacrifice everything for their cause, the Bulldogs completed the job of dismembering the mighty Magpies machine. It's well written, though. I like the writing. And that's modern. That's 10 years ago. That's got a little bit of the style of the old Bunyip to it, that one.
Oh, absolutely. I remember Mark used to cover the football when I first met him, and he didn't know the first thing about football. And he used to go after these matches, and I'd say, well, how come you can write so well about it, the match reports?
Yeah.
And he'd say, I'd stand behind the goalposts and listen to what people were shouting at the umpire. He was wicked. And now, here's the Gawler Now and Then photograph, which is of Top Shop, Lindock Road corner. And that's on the southeastern corner. Yes, hard to describe. So it's sort of further up the hill is...
I actually think I might have a photo of that business from the 50s.
It's got Alaska ice cream on the... And it says Top Shop, Jack Wall, for all refreshments. And I remember Alaska ice cream. There was a company when I was a kid called Alaska. It was Alaska Fruits. Anyway, Top Shop. So this is a photograph of that shop, which some listeners would remember, maybe. Top Shop, Lindock Road corner, 1950s. The Top Shop delicatessen was owned by Jack and Dot Wall in the 1950s to 1960s and remembered for selling pasties at 5 pence each. So if you've got any more information about the photograph or Dot and Jack Wall, contact Stan through the town of Gawler or explore more than 21,000 photos of the town of Gawler through the website gawlerhistory.com. It's an enormous...
I must find that photo. So Mum had gone, she probably went into the shop to buy refreshments.
Probably.
She was passing through and they stopped in Gawler.
Yes.
And the photo's looking over there, so it was probably bus had stopped so they could buy food from there.
I don't remember that shop. I only remember it as a hairdresser on the corner, and just up a bit is Aero Motors, and then over the road is Faster Pasta and High Street. And So opposite the visitor centre and opposite the Exchange Hotel.
Okay, well, yes,
for
the 21st.
And
until
we hope you enjoy listening.
Yes. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Jeanette. For all life's love.